to the show. Everyone's expecting. If you know them well, you know. Do as I say, not as I do. Welcome, friends, you know. Unity in all that. Operation Encore is a 501c nonprofit that is helping veterans turn into rock stars every single day. You can learn more about what Operation Encore is doing by going over to their website at www.operationencore.org. That is www.operationencore.org. If you can give them a hand, just click that little donate button or follow all of their social medias and learn exactly what they are doing to change the lives of our veterans every single day.
Practice. And I had to, I moved up to Massachusetts to take care of my son while trying to run a practice in New York at the same time. So, you know, it wasn't easy. You know, to be in one state and run a practice in another. So I had to get some other doctors to cover for me. You know, I'll make it a long story short. The owner of the hospital did not like that, threw my doctors out and filed a $10 million lawsuit against me. And so my whole practice took a nosedive overnight. I lost everything, almost. And I was freaking out. So I got a job at a hospital in Massachusetts. And there I met a nurse who happened to be married to a police officer, which I didn't know about at the time. And she said she would help me rebuild my practice, you know, by starting a pain clinic. And at first, you know, I was seeing patients in the hospital. They gave me an office. And look, some of them came in. They came in with records and everything. And one guy was shot in the eye. I mean, who am I to say that a man shot in the eye isn't feeling pain? I don't know. And pain happens to be very subjective. It's not, I can't take somebody's temperature or whatever.
Yeah.
So I would write that. The only thing is they always wanted the oxycodone, the 30 milligrams, which they called blueberries, which I later found out. I later found out the whole thing. And they'd always want 120 of them. And, you know, then I found out, you know, the nurse was selling them. And the nurse who happened to be married to a canine cop was selling the drugs. And then, like I said, I tried to get away from it. And I moved back to New York. And the only reason I didn't move back to New York prior was because of the custody arrangements. So I actually had physical custody of my son. And my ex-wife had legal custody, and she wouldn't let me move. I couldn't take my son out, and my son wouldn't live with anyone except me. So I'm in a situation. All right, so I'm trying to make money to get back, so I'm doing this. And yes, and people are giving me $1,000 for a script. And, you know, of course, the nurse was, you know, in my head, whatever, and saying, well, you know, you're a Park Avenue doctor. You can charge $1,000 for this. And, you know, then I realized, you know, once I finally was able to get back to New York, I realized how stupid I was. Yeah. And it was too late. Now, this was 2011. And I got back to New York in 2011. Then 2 years later, in 2013, somebody I had prescribed the oxycodone to all of a sudden comes down to New York and shows up in my office. And, you know, she's kind of pressuring me to sign it. And, like, I was, you know, I freaked out. I wrote a prescription for her just to get her out of my office. And next thing you know, I was on June 18th, 2013, 4 days before my son graduated high school. You know, big knock on my door. Go downstairs, you know, kind of in my underwear and T-shirt. Open the door. Whole bunch of FBI agents come on in with semi-automatics, actually, you know, headgear on, clubs, push me against the wall. You, Dr. Belfour? Yes. You're under arrest. And then, you know, my son comes down, sees me, starts crying. I'm like, oh, this is awful. One of them tells my kid, you know, don't worry, he'll be home for dinner. So, you know, I went down, got, you know, I spent the day there in lockup. I never did any time except for that, but I ended up getting probation for 5 years and paying a $400 fine. But they were threatening me with 80 years of prison for writing a few prescriptions.
Wow.
And you know what that's like, to be facing 80 years of prison for writing a couple of prescriptions? And the reality is, you know, and they're threatening me with that, and I'm like playing with a paperclip, and the guy and the assistant U.S. attorney says, oh, you're always that nervous and play with paperclips? I go, well, it's not every day I get threatened with 80 years of prison.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd be a little nervous myself.
Right. So, and then after that, just every, all right, so I didn't do any prison time, but all of a sudden my livelihood's gone. I kind of end up really essentially in the streets.
Yeah.
You just kind of blacked out there.
I did.
You there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you. So I end up, you know, essentially in the streets. I was couch surfing for a couple of years, living with some really crazy people. And then I developed, you know, I found the formula for turning it all around. And I really came from nothing. You know, okay, I had some money left over, you know, in a retirement account, which sustained me. Felonies, which, you know, I pled to, because, and then my lawyer said, you know, advised me, give up your license. Dumbest thing I ever did. Yeah. And, you know, again, I ended up with 5 years probation and a $400 fine. And, you know, 400 hours of community service, which I did really quickly. And I worked with other people on parole and probation. And so the judge he terminated my probation in half the time for exceptional behavior, because I worked with, you know, people in the correctional system. And then, you know, I found a place to work now called here New Beginnings. And that's what this is for me, a new beginning. And I'm the director and I'm doing really well. I'm doing, you know, I have everything back again. I think I can help more people. And I feel like I could help more people with this, because this, you know, than even being a doctor, because being a doctor, you know, it's everything's one-on-one.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I got a book out and it tells people how, it actually tells people how to go from nothing, or people who are upset with their life, how to turn their life around. And I've learned how to about it in there in my book.
Yeah. I mean,
and
I can't even imagine how hard it would be to go from.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I think you froze.
I can see you.
Yeah, you froze for a minute there. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. So one thing I noticed, right? When not very many people can make it from being homeless back to where you're at, right? And in the veteran community, I know it takes that kind of that moment where the soldier is just completely broken before he finally realizes he needs help and starts asking. How trying to figure out where you're going to sleep, where you're going to eat, what are you going to do? Where did you come up with the method to actually start turning it around? Was it an aha moment, or was it just a fortunate of events?
It's kind of both. I mean, I really hit rock bottom. I mean, there was one time I could give you some examples of how rock bottom I hit. Did you ever watch Game of Thrones? You know, the series Game of Thrones. Yep. Remember, everybody was waiting for the last season to come out. And everyone was waiting for the first episode. I was living on a couch with some nut. I'm not going to say who it was, right? And that day, she decides to throw me out. You know, and I, at that time, I was still on probation, actually. And unfortunately for her, she was still on probation too. And I actually went to the police and said that I got to get my stuff out of there. And which was not good for her, because if she has any police contact, she has to report it to her probation officer.
Yeah.
So, you know, the police came with me, and I already told my probation officer about it. And he said, you know, well, you know, you got to give him time to get his stuff and get out. So, you know, and she wanted to kill me, you know, and I had to get out of there as fast as I can. Because now, you know, I caused her to violate probation. She could go right back to prison. So I got out of there, and I stayed with these people. I don't know, this other guy was really crazy and started becoming threatening, and I had to get out of there. And then this was in Florida, and I moved back to New York, and I was living with some people who smoked crack. Those were the nicest people I lived with for 2 years, actually, the people who were on crack.
Really? Well, I mean, I guess, you know, right, so what you're addicted doesn't mean that you can't be nice.
No, they were very nice. They were very understanding. They understood my situation. They treated me, you know, respectfully, which other people didn't during this time. And, you know, people who knew, you know, I'm a doctor who screwed up. Well, you know, they just wanted either to take advantage or exploit or whatever. And what happened was, look, if you don't have money and you're down and out, what do you have? I mean, just think about it for a second. What do you have? You gotta really use everything, use your brain, use your intelligence, use your skills, whatever you have.
Yeah.
To get in touch with whoever from your past you know and could help you. And, well, not necessarily help you, but who's not going to take advantage of you. And he's not going to exploit you. And I got in temporarily with, I don't even want to say this, but like an ex-patient of mine. Let me stay with him. You know, I don't have a license, so I don't care. I can say that. And then I started realizing why he was my ex-patient. But at that same time, I was able to call other people, and I was able to get a job, you know, working as a counselor at this place. And because I did that, okay, so my home life wasn't stable, but at least I was bringing in an income.
Right.
So the first thing I would say, if somebody can do it, is get some sort of income coming in, you know, because you need it. And if you could do Instacart or Uber, and I couldn't even do that because I had a felony, but I'm talking about other people. Get some sort of income coming in. And then what happened was my son decided to move back in with me. And we got a place together. And we got my dogs back. He was able to get my dogs back. And once I got in with him, and it was rocky at first, but then things got better. I found some other work. Then I actually lost my job because the crazy person I was working for, oh God, she fired me because I didn't want to take walks with her in Central Park. And so then I don't know, I was down, I was living with $1,000, and I don't know, he says, hey, you are you still in New York? And I said yes. And then I says, well, I can remember my friend. And I said yes. And then he introduced me, and then I applied for this position. They kind of knew who I was. They knew my credentials. They knew what I was capable of. And I started working there first as a counselor. But, you know, it's a year and a half now later, and I'm not only the clinical director, I'm kind of the ambassador for them. I go on podcasts for them. I go on television for them. You know, I used to be on television. Look, you know something I've learned? Even if this the interview is going a little messy, we're going to turn this into a success.
Oh, okay? Absolutely.
So I started working, and it just, you know, he saw my value, and he didn't want to date me. He didn't want to, you know, take me for walks in Central Park. I mean, he's a reasonable person. So... And he saw that, you know, I was good with the – look, so let's say, you know, for a veteran. And, you know, I used to work in many VA hospitals. I did during my training. I worked in the Bronx VA, the Manhattan VA, and Jamaica Plains VA up in Massachusetts. You know, veterans have certain skills that they've learned. They've learned it through their training. And – you know, I think what happens is they get downtrodden. You know, they get, you know, they feel, you know, bad afterwards, whatever. But they have to remember that they have these skills and their talents, and they can use them. And nobody's ever going to take that away from them. And, you know, I think a lot of them forget that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is that they feel like at least I know I did when I left, your identity is kind of taken from you. You know, you were somebody before you walked out that gate. And then when you walk out, you're now in this big pool of people that no longer know anything about you or care anything about you. And I think that's kind of one of the reasons why transitioning is probably the most dangerous time for veterans, you know, is those first 2 years after getting out.
Uh-oh, all right, so let's look at it. Compare it to my situation. You know, just think about it. Here I was a doctor. It was like getting out. So what do I do? Yeah, I suffered for a while. I'll admit that. I did. But eventually, you know, I realized that I still have my skills. And the other thing is, you know, just when it, look. Opportunities are always going to come. You know, you're doing this podcast now. You know, this is a skill you have. This wasn't the same. You didn't do this in the military, but this is something you learn. And, you know, you learn, you know, there's a lot to podcasting. You have to interview people. You have to come up with questions. You have to schedule them. Yep. It's not easy.
No,
but
it's
you're
not.
Doing it. So, I mean, that's what?
It's definitely not easy.
It's a perfect example right there. No, it's not easy. So you could have given up and said, I don't want to do anything, but you're not.
Yeah.
You're not. In fact, this is a great thing that you're doing. It, you know, and you're, you know, by having certain guests on, you're helping people. And these people would not, get exposure to others if it wasn't for you. And yeah. And other veterans, whatever, they have to realize that they can contribute, and they really have to look. Let me tell you my formula, okay? And this is, and I think this could be very helpful. And the formula I use is accept, ACCEPT, okay? Mm-hmm. A. All right. For me, it's admit you did something wrong, take full responsibility. Okay, if it's like a veteran, you didn't do anything wrong, but take responsibility for your life.
Yeah.
And take responsibility for who you are. And the story you tell yourself is your story. And that's all it is a story. And guess what? Stories can be rewritten.
Yeah.
So rewrite your story. Okay, C, contribute. Oh, no, C is cut out. Cut out any toxic people in your life. Okay, if you have a boss who only wants you there for walks in Central Park, quit before she fires you. You know, get rid of her. Look, there are toxic people out there.
Yeah.
If you're around toxic people, get rid of them. And anyone doing criminal activity or using drugs or alcohol, get rid of them. And don't do any drugs or alcohol yourself. Because it's just not going to work. And while I'm at it, don't eat crappy food either. You know, learn about diet and nutrition. That's important. Okay, the next C is contribute. So if you have, again, you know, maybe there's a big change in your life where you did something. Are you really going to spend the rest of your life torturing yourself? Is it worth it? No. You have certain skills, you have talents, you have your education, you have your experience, you have your training, you had military training. And believe me, military training is not easy. So don't tell me that's easy. I mean, if you got through that, you could get through this too. You could get through this too. So C is contribute. Contribute your skills. Go find a place to contribute your skills to others and to yourself. Okay. E, exercise. Start paying attention to your physical body and exercise, because the only way to go from mess to success is to be in good physical shape. Don't let yourself go. If you can work out, work out. If you can run, run. If you can walk, walk. Just whatever you need to do. Watch what you eat. You know, I mean, I could go into a whole thing on that, but that's another day. You know, again. Okay, P. This is a big one. Find your purpose. Find your purpose in life.
Yeah.
Everybody has a purpose. And then, you know, I put this up on the internet. Oh, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. I do know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, when you find your purpose, that gives you a reason to wake up every day, every morning, get out of bed and do something. Okay? And that's really what'll stop all the naysayers, all the obstacles. Just stick to your purpose, whatever your purpose is. And then T is try and try again. Don't give up. Never give up. The only way you lose is if you give up. You don't lose if you lose. You lose if you give up.
Yeah.
If you lose, you learn. You only win, learn, or give up. Giving up is the real losing. And look, after this happened to me, I was in the media. I was on the internet. And, you know, people treated me like crap. I mean, I couldn't get used to live in a free, and now I can't even get housing. And, you know, I used to get any job I wanted to because I'm a Johns Hopkins graduate. Now I can't even drive an Uber. But I never gave up. Try and try again. Try again. Don't stop. And that's my formula.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with a lot of what you just said. Especially, like you said, the P is the big one, purpose. And I think that's something else that the veteran community has in relate to this is the lack of purpose. You know, when they get out, they start, when that depression starts hitting, they just don't feel like they're worth anything. At least, and I'm speaking about myself, not necessarily for everybody, but you know, I think that's losing that purpose is the beginning of the downward spiral that happens, you know, and cutting out toxic people too. I wish I would have learned that years ago, because I'd been miles ahead of where I'm at now had I done that.
Well, again, just look at your life, and if there are any toxic people, cut them out. And you talk about purpose. You know, this, what you're doing now, is it part of your purpose, the podcasting?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and what is your purpose?
You know, my purpose is to help the veteran community. I want to see the veteran community to where when you hear the word mental health, the first image in your mind isn't a soldier. You know, I like to celebrate our wins. People that are trying to recreate their dreams that they put on hold to serve our country, i.e. be a musician or a writer. Since I've done this, I've wrote my first book. I'm learning to play guitar. I've met some amazing people, and I'm building a nonprofit. So that is my purpose.
Okay. So look at this for a second, right? And there's something you probably don't even realize what you're doing and what I did. What happened to me was my enemy. You know, this total trauma of getting arrested, losing my license, losing everything. It was my enemy. It ate me up inside. You know, the whole trauma. What I've done, if you really look at what I've done, I've made my trauma my partner. I'm going out publicly talking about it. Now, I have my trauma right here, my buddy. He's getting me on these shows. He's helping me author books. He's getting me on television. My trauma isn't my enemy anymore. You talk about depression. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was your enemy.
Yeah.
But your depression is also a reason, your purpose for what you're doing, what you're doing. Your depression has now become your partner.
Yeah, I agree.
And the more you let that, you know, the more you let him partner with you, the more successful you'll become.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
And that's something no other doctor or psychiatrist is going to tell you, to become friends with your trauma. Use your trauma to help you.
Yeah. And I think it's your acronym is really spot on too, because in order for you to be able to do that, that A has to be the first thing. You have to accept what you did, you know. If you don't, you're never going to get to this point.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I made it easy for people to remember, accept. You know, acronyms, you know, formulas like that, if you remember. If nobody takes out anything else from this, if they remember, accept, I know I've helped somebody in your audience.
Yeah.
And even you too, if you remember that.
Yeah. So I ended up going to a group therapy, and a lot of them, it was called the Warrior's Way Mindset. And a lot of the stuff that they prescribe is kind of in your acronym. You know, one is they take you through a phase where it's called Know Thyself. And that's when you'll start learning who you are, why you are, and all the stuff that you probably don't want to know about yourself. And that's where by the time you get through that, that's where you have to have accept, okay, this is me. This is what I've done. I am that guy that lost my temper. I am that guy that was depressed. And you have to take ownership of those things. And absolutely. So I think it's obvious to me that your formula is going to work, because it worked for me in another atmosphere. But a lot of the same things that you just mentioned that's in your acronym is the same things that they're teaching.
Okay. So look, it works.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't even know about them, but, you know, this is what I came up with, you know, and it works. So I'm living proof of it. You know, I went from being a doctor to a felon.
Yeah.
And for felons, it's not easy. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
But I'm back to kind of being a doctor. I don't have my license back, although I'm fighting for it. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm still a doctor. I still have my MD.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing, you know, I like doing this more than I like just sitting in an office one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I feel I could do a lot more doing this.
Well, just like you said, there's your purpose.
It is.
And the other thing I've learned too, and a lot of this for me has just came in the last 8 months. You know, I retired in 2014, and I spent, you know, I didn't go through some of the traumas that you went through, but I was in that category of where I just didn't want to live no more. I didn't want to be a part of anything anymore. And, you know, here lately, this last year, what I have discovered is that everything has a purpose. Everything, there's a reason for everything. And maybe the fact that where you're supposed to be is where you're at. And that is how you can help more people. And had your events leading up to this not happened, there would be a lot of people that you probably wouldn't have been able to help, because you'd still be stuck in a room doing one-on-ones with people that only have the insurance to come to your facility.
And possibly just writing oxycodones for people too.
Yeah.
And other crappy drugs and toxic drugs.
Yeah.
Something I'll never do again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I bet. Man, you know, I seen the damages from that drug. Just with some soldiers, you know, you didn't see it at first, but as the war continued to go, you know, I don't think any of us expected it to last 20 years, but it wasn't uncommon for you to know somebody that got hurt as the years went on. You know, those numbers grew pretty large. And we had some guys that was in our unit, and one of them was addicted to pain pills prescribed to him through a doctor from the military. And then after his wife came forward and stated that he was addicted, that it wasn't pain, that he was an addict, we ended up taking his security clearance away and moving him on to another unit. And it's like, you know, after seeing that movie and now hearing your story and thinking back to some of these soldiers, man, we put them in that crappy position by giving them the medication. And then again, we did it the military way. We didn't provide the help afterwards.
Correct.
Yeah. That's, man, that's a tough, I just can't even imagine going from a Park Avenue practice to your story, man. My hat's off to you. That's awesome that you were able to turn it all around, you know?
Well, thank you. And let me tell you the other great part about turning your life around. When you turn your life around, others around you get inspired by you, and they can turn their lives around. So after I turned my life around, there was a gentleman I know, a 26-year-old man who was, you know, he finished college, but he was very upset, very angry. And, you know, he was living where he didn't want to live. And he was working in a warehouse. And he was working actually for a dollar less than minimum wage.
Wow.
And he could barely support himself. And now it's 3 years later. And in 2 months, the same person, you know, with my assistance and my coaching, will be graduating from law school.
That is awesome.
and to even make more awesome, that just happens to be my son.
Oh, that is awesome. Yeah. That is, you know, man, my hat's off, man. That is awesome that you can not only get yourself there, but now you've changed the projection of somebody else's life as well.
And I've done it with others too. I know when I was, I told you I did the, you know, the community service. I told you how to do 400 hours of it.
Yeah.
And I was working with, you know, other people on probation and parole. And there was one gentleman, he was 29 years old. He was actually from the Dominican Republic. And he came here because he was drafted by the Philadelphia Phillies, you know, to play professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And he hurt himself, so he couldn't do that. And, you know, he didn't know what to do. And somehow he got involved with these people and ended up being arrested by the feds. And he did a little time, and then he's on parole. And, you know, he was living by himself, actually on house arrest. Except, you know, he was allowed to go out and, you know, make a living. And all he did was drive for Instacart. And he, you know, sometimes he'd make less than minimum wage.
Yeah.
And I was allowed to work with him. And now he's done with parole. But prior to finishing parole, he developed a whole e-commerce store online. Before he finished parole, he was financially free. He didn't even have to work anymore.
Wow. That's awesome, man. I think it goes back to something you said earlier, too, about being able to use your tools. And when you get in that situation, now you're forced to focus on, okay, what can I do versus what I can't do? And
absolutely,
a lot of stuff gets overlooked in your day-to-day life, you know? So, yeah, I think that's awesome. And again, I think it takes that person to accept and start looking up versus just, you know, sitting there playing the victim card and giving up.
Yeah, because there's no point. I mean, just think about it. If you play the victim, nobody cares.
Yeah. Well, you are absolutely right. Well, doctor, I'm going to bring you forward. I'm going to let you promote your book. And I know I've had your website going down here at the bottom. But go ahead and tell everybody where they can get your book and show them another picture of it so that they can see it.
Sure. And, you know, see, I'm trying to lose a little weight. I've lost 10 pounds since the book.
That's
but
awesome.
It's Mess to Success. It's How to Overcome Adversity. And it's available on Amazon. And it's pretty easy reading. But on my website, if you go to my website, WilliamBelfarMD.com, you can see, you know, some of the things I've accomplished after I was arrested. And, you know, you could see sort of what I was like before. And, you know, there's a little video on the front. It shows you what I was doing before and then after I was arrested and then what I'm doing now. And also, I'd be happy to, you know, I have a coaching program. So, you know, sometimes people need a little more than a book. I know I did. And, you know, if you go to my website, you just click on the top of make an appointment, and I'll have a free one-on-one consultation with you. And then, you know, we can discuss whether, you know, you want to have coaching or not. And I'm sure I can help you. But the call is absolutely free. I'm not charging anything. And, you know, wait, you know, see if what I can do for you and if we're a match. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to go and put you in the green room. We'll go ahead and throw the exit video up. Doctor, I appreciate you coming on. A tremendous story. of adversity. Man, my hat's off to you. I'm glad to have gotten to hear it.
Yeah, and love to be back if you, you know, if you'd like, or I'd love to speak with you privately too if you'd like. Be very okay, happy to.
Absolutely.
You did a great job.
Yeah, I appreciate it. All right, doctor. Man, you know, some of those things, listening to that story, it really makes you appreciate some of the things and even some of the things that you went through yourself, because you now can understand that you have to accept your responsibilities. You know, there's steps to this. Medication, as I have always said, is not the cure. It might help you get to that point, but it's not a long-term cure like they seem to want us to stay on. So you do have to take these responsibilities, and to hear stories like this and see other people come out the other side with a win is amazing. I hope all of you guys enjoyed the show. I know I did, and I hope all of y'all got something out of it. Like he said, remember, accept. So we will see y'all next week. Y'all take care. Be safe. Remember, don't let the day kick your ass. Kick its ass.